Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, September 26, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
Also here with Michael Kelly as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, as is customary. In fact, if you're on the web page, the broadcast page are down at the bottom. The first one is, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read more about these, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome those joining the live broadcast tonight, as well as those listening to the archive. We appreciate you being here, appreciate your time. Tonight, we're going to talk about the topic of consciousness, which is a very interesting topic, as always, and specifically, is the universe conscious, but we'll deviate from that too and expand a little bit. But this is based on an article that came out, when was it? I know it was on the web. It's on the web at Awareness Act. It's actually posted at One Planet Community, One PC, oneplanetcommunity.com, which is our private network for church members and students and so forth. And so if you'd like to read it, just log into oneplanetcommunity.com and you can. You'll find it. Dr. Hunter had actually shared that with everyone. The title of the article is Scientists Now Believe That the Universe Itself is Conscious. Now, I think that might be a pretty sweeping statement. I don't know that all scientists believe that, but some do apparently. And they talk about this new scientific concept called panpsychism, which says that the universe could be capable of consciousness. And of course, if that's true, that means a big huge change. What's your take on it, Dr. Hunter?
Well, I guess we have to define consciousness, and if we're talking about can it think in English, probably not. but consciousness being awake or self-aware, sure. You know, we have very small perceptions through the human eye, and is the universe got its own energy consciousness that kind of makes sense to me in a way, but not as human intelligence might be able to define, if that makes any sense. Because we're looking at consciousness through a particular lens. And what is consciousness? Is it an ability to create a cause and effect for itself? If that's the case, then yes, absolute consciousness. Cause and effect, maybe not in ways that we see cause and effect. Action, reaction, then is that a form of consciousness? And the ability to create a new energy as a result of other energies, perhaps that defines consciousness. And again, does it think in English, you know, a language of words? I think not. But again, it's that perception of what conscious energy might be. That's to me, when I look at the word consciousness, does it have some kind of conscious energy to create a cause and effect and know how to create a new kind of energy stream based on the past experience, if I've articulated that?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. You know, that maybe to put this in some perspective, and we've talked about this prior in past times on this program too, but in my, it's my feeling, my hunch, my speculation that consciousness is the gasoline that drives the universe, so to speak. It permeates the universe. And in fact, you know, it's called the Force in Star Wars. Basically, and I'm not trying to be geeky about it or anything, but if you think about it, you know, we're trying to find the theory of everything, right? To marry the standard model of gravity with quantum mechanics, because they don't agree. They don't get along. The very large in the universe and the very small in the universe don't play nice together. They can't resolve them to work together. And so you think about the theory of everything, well, maybe the missing link, and it's very simplistic what I'm talking about, but maybe the missing link is consciousness. It's that force that drives everything. And I think that we're going to find, as technology evolves over the millennia and even the next few decades, I think we're going to find that consciousness plays a much bigger role in things. And the reason I say that, I'll reiterate some of my theories, or I should say hypotheses, on consciousness that, and it just seems to make sense in lieu of any other information, but my hypothesis is that life is, basically you define life by something that's capable of holding, if you will, containing some measure of consciousness. And if we look around the world, we see all forms of life, from plants and trees to insects to domestic pets to other animals, to the great apes, to humans, and not to leave out dolphins, orcas, and fish and all that. But if you look at those, they're all alive. There's even microbes, you know, bacteria, things like that, that are alive. And if you look at the different, compare the different, some of the different species, I mean, you compare an insect, like an ant. You know, you look at an anthill and an ant colony, whatever, they have an organization. They have communication. They have all this stuff. You know, are they self-aware? Probably not. Most animals are not self-aware in the sense that humans are. But they do have some of that the higher up they go. But you compare an insect with a cat or a dog, a pet, you know, with some of the great apes who have even more, dolphins, and then humans, you can see that it just goes up the scale. I mean, we have cats, and I watch and observe our cats, and it's interesting because they do have a degree of self-awareness, and they do learn and grow and evolve in their own way to their own limits. So basically different species have a different degree of the ability to contain more or less consciousness. Humans have the most. We can contain, because our brains are wired that way. And so if we look at it, if we observe that, and then we look at the universe, and undoubtedly the universe is teeming with life of all kinds and all stages and all degrees. It's just too big. It would be stupid to think it's not, but it must be teeming with life. It's so huge. And so what's the common denominator? You know, why is there psychic ability? Why are we able to connect with one another, you know, through telepathy or even just knowing, clairsentience? And, you know, there must be some force at work here that ties everything together. Global consciousness is we call it the Akashic Record. So those are some of my thoughts on what consciousness is. So is there a force in the universe Well, I believe that there is. Now, whether the universe, you know, I agree with Dr. Hunter. I don't think that the universe is conscious in the way that a human is, but I think that consciousness operates upon it in some fashion that we don't yet understand. Any comments from you or Michael?
Michael, we haven't heard from you yet.
Well, I think it's a fascinating topic, and really what I've been thinking about when we think about the notion of the universe being consciousness in a way, it makes me think of some things I've been learning about recently in terms of astronomy and the universe. And I recently kind of began investigating these things called galaxy filaments. And if you were to look at the total universe and see all the clusters of galaxies, and you pull out far enough, they look like stars unto themselves. And you see these networks of galaxies that stretch in these bands bound together by gravity. And, you know, they have these artist renderings based on images they found with using microwaves and things to peer into the universe. But you look at these networks, and it almost looks like a neural network. In fact, I'm trying to find a way to copy a link of a very good one so I can put it in chat, but it's a bit lengthy. But it's just an interesting thought that I don't quite know what it means, but the similarities between these strings of galaxies that are relatively close together, and they stretch into these other groups and clusters, and it's remarkably similar to the way that neurons work and the way that you see them operate in the brain and the mind.
So what kind of energy then would happen as a result of those interconnecting? I'm just thinking of their relationship, and do all those, each of those planets or galaxies could be considered a cell in one big vast universe,
mm-hmm.
much like the human body. That's what comes to mind right away when you're talking about the networks.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's quantum, right? I mean, and that goes into the unknown. And when you have, you know, from our perspective, there are such vast amounts of existence that are still unknown. But when you think about the quantum level, it could be, when you go into the quantum level, that could be almost going into another multiverse, you know, another universe unto itself. Perhaps this universe that we're looking at, I know I'm being somewhat cliched and perhaps poetic, but this universe that we're living in could be the mind or the brain of some other entity being that's not even aware of our individual existence. Just a thought, but...
Yeah.
waiting deep. For the next one. Yeah, okay.
Deep thoughts, right?
As I've always said, the funnest questions to ask are the ones with no answers.
Well, Rinaldo says that somehow the universe resembles neuron clusters as those found within the human brain, mm-hmm. and it is reminiscent of it. And, you know, and that's the thing. That's the fun thing to do, is to speculate, to wonder, to think about what really is the reality of this reality, you know. And of course, then we talk about these filaments, these galactical filaments, and we don't know how far the universe extends. I mean, some say it's infinite, you know, but that there's a different question. The universe itself may be infinite, but do the galaxies go on infinitely? They may not. The space might, you know, might be there, but you expand even further and you've got the potential for bubble universes, you know, parallel universes. And then you expand above that, what's there? You know, what do we find there above that level, and above that level, and above that level? You know, where does it stop? Where does it originate? You know, these are probably some of the questions that we may not be able to answer in our human form, you know, without the ability to go into different dimensions.
Well, I find it interesting. I did post another article on OnePC that was put out by the National Geographic, but I noticed that BBC was carrying the article. It's a very recent kind of announcement and study about shockwaves from World War II bombing were rippled through the edges of space. which is fascinating when you think how far, like, one impact here can ripple through the universe. And in the event there's consciousness in the universe, how would the universe, the other ionosphere and beyond, kind of respond to that impact? You know, even just one, let alone, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them, how would it try to recover itself? Would it know to recover itself, or would it be an absolute effect? These are huge questions, and I think they're fascinating.
They are.
Because it implies that with action and reaction, we know in basic physics, that how would, if there wasn't a measure of consciousness, how would a universal energy know how to respond, to change its force?
Well, and then you think about evolution. You know, and this is another thing that I've thought about a lot. Is okay. Let's look at evolution, the evolutionary process on this planet of life. You know, it starts wherever. I mean, they feel it started in the oceans or in water, and then gradually evolved from there. And you know, what you see is what it branched out into. But there does seem to be a mechanism in place that evolution follows. And diversity is the name of the game. And so it appears from anecdotal evidence, from observational evidence, just from observing the world, if it all evolved, then within that evolutionary process is the ability to expand and go different directions and different paths so that different species are created. What drives that? Is consciousness part of that? Is that the universal consciousness that drives the, you know, the proliferation, is that a word, of the universe, of life, and of everything? I mean, that's an interesting question, because obviously something's driving evolution. There's some force behind it. Otherwise it would just stall and not go anywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if we realized that we were all connected, we'd all become Buddhists. Sorry.
Or we could just become metaphysical humanists and still exactly. Do the same thing without all the crap.
I know. And to think about consciousness of the universe that we're all a part of, and if people could grasp that, even the possibility, we would be much kinder to all of life, particularly the Earth. Because, you know, the Earth is continually responding to our behavior.
Yeah.
And where prior to the last, you know, few hundred years, there's always been at least a recovery stage and a more respect for the Earth. And it's had more time to recover. Well, now it's fracturing. And, you know, we know that scientifically. Some of the things in oil and gas, the drilling, the fracking, and so on. I mean, there's places that have earthquakes now where there's no fault lines. So we know that the Earth is doing its best to recover, and the Earth will continue in some measure long after we're gone. But I think it's a testament to the Earth itself as a consciousness to be able to know kind of what to do. And again, I have to say, it doesn't know what to do like we would think, like our intellect says, but there's a response, that the Earth has a response to our behavior.
And they call it Gaia, you know?
Yeah.
And another thing that is important, and I already alluded to it, is perspective. You know, we need to maintain a proper perspective. And let me just deviate a slight amount and bring it back to consciousness. You know, all we have to do is look at the news and look at the circus going on in politics, and all the little things that are big things going on this planet, you know, with terrorism, with terroristic religions, abusive religions in all forms, sexual abuse, killing people. You don't believe like me, so I'm going to kill you, or even less, to a less degree, you don't believe like me, so we're going to shun you, you know, disown you. And all the different things going on this planet, we watch the news, we can get overwhelmed. And we think, oh, wow, and it can create fear in us. and we don't know what to do. We're not, it confuses us. It confounds us. You know, we look at all that's going on. And, you know, I've often likened it to, you know, a bunch of little boys all fighting for their corner of the sandbox. Why? Because all we have to do is again, step back, broaden the view. We see the earth. And all the crap and all the good stuff that's going on this planet, this little planet, in a part of the Milky Way galaxy, and we expand out, we see the Milky Way, we keep going, and we see Andromeda and the other galaxies of the local group, and we keep going on, we see the filaments. And all you have to do is look at Andromeda. I mean, pull up Google Maps, or Google Earth, I should say, and look at Andromeda or any other galaxy, and just, you look at it, they're beautiful, and you look at them and you think, how many civilizations are in that galaxy? And they're so alien to us, and you know, how many people are there on these trillion planets or trillion stars and their planets in Andromeda? And you keep going out and expanding, and you begin to realize that the stuff going on this little planet, yeah, it can be big, but in the grand scheme of things, like Plato said, nothing in the affairs of men is worth worrying about. And I really believe that. Of course, some people could argue that, but honestly, we don't need to be afraid. Things will continue. Things will go on. You know, we'll go on in one way or another. We'll close one chapter and move on, the continuity of life. You know, everything will continue as it is, and as a species, we're trying to evolve. And that's why we have some of this stuff going on. We're trying to learn how to be nice to each other. And for many of us, it's not that hard to be nice to each other, to not ridicule and mock people. You know, it's not that hard. We don't do that. We don't practice that. And yet so many people do. And so many people are trying to control. In fact, if humanity would just learn one lesson, stop trying to change and control other people. If they would just learn that, our civilization would immediately improve dramatically. And we wouldn't have the stuff going on that we do. If people would just respect other people, stop trying to change or control them, stop trying to do what they do to other people. You know, just be nice. Be kind. Be nice. Don't hurt other people. Do no harm. Do right. If people would just do that, we'd lose all these problems. So, again, perspective is the point here. Don't let what's going on in the news and in the world dismay you or take you off track. You have a purpose. You're here to fulfill it. You're here to determine it. So be about that. You know, walk your own path. Do your thing. Note what's going on. Be safe. Be nice to each other. Do no harm. Do right. But don't let it sideline you or make you depressed or worried or unduly fearful, because there was stuff going on. I mean, you can look back in history, even in the 60s, the civil rights movement. There was a lot of riots and a lot of stuff going on back then. We could have said the same thing. You know, I'm under my desk at school practicing for a nuclear bomb as if that was going to do any good. Come on. You know, it's a same stuff, different decade. Okay, different stuff. And we can argue that even though it may not seem like it, things are getting better, little by little. And so that's the perspective we have to have. So we bring that back around to consciousness, and again, there's something driving that evolutionary track, that thing that we do. We evolve toward enlightenment. We evolve toward greater self-awareness and awareness of the plight of others around us. And that's part of consciousness. And if it's not, it's part of our own consciousness.
I think it's a matter of right about now. It's what we are going to do to stand up to the lower frequencies of consciousness, such as behavior. And I've heard this said, and I totally believe it. What we're seeing generally in the news and politics and so on is what's always been hidden, but now it's surfaced. And it's so everything is right there. Everything that's always been there is right there in our faces. What will we do with that? Will we say, no, you have to change? That's not evolution. That's not humanity as we want it to be, so let's evolve. Or are we just going to roll over and say, well, that's the way it is? So this is where we participate, and we have that ability to be self-aware, to participate in the evolution of consciousness. And, Ronaldo said in the chat, maybe learn to surrender our egos. I just watched on Netflix a biography on Quincy Jones. Brilliant piece, by the way. He said ego is inflated insecurity. And it really stuck with me. And what a very simple way of saying that, that we have an overinflated sense of ourselves.
Yeah.
And to bring it back down to earth, no pun intended, to ask ourselves what kind of human beings we want. Now, I'm not off topic when I say this. I just found out from my daughter that even up here in BC, Canada, the school districts are talking about how to deal with the Trump effect with children and parents. I kid you not, because people feel emboldened to behave rudely, badly, dumb. It's crazy. So they're calling it. They literally call it the Trump effect up here. So we have this ability now to say, no, that's called the blah, blah effect, and you can't behave that way. Now, I'm sure in previous times in history, we've had some other effect to deal with, you know, and now it's this effect. But I think the genius of our time right now is every ugly thing you can imagine in humanity is right there in our faces. What are you going to do about it? And that's where we have opportunity now to say, this is what we want to be in expanding, like in other words, heightening our vibration, raising our vibration, heightening our frequency to catch up with ourselves. I think we just have a lot of emotional growing up to do. And we haven't caught up with, of course, Dr. Angie said technology is helping us to connect more. And that's brilliant. I absolutely agree. So we can feel that our circles are bigger and find ways, just like kind of Michael was talking about earlier, you know, all those neurons and fibers going out in the universe, we now have that connected to each other. So we are empowered to bring us up or roll over and say, oh, well, we're all just a dumb species, you know, and that's all there is. Ronaldo's mentioning What the Bleep Do We Know? It was brought out years ago. It's a brilliant film, by the way. Anybody who hasn't watched that. There's lots of ways to, and lots of people have been doing their part to help us better understand ourselves as a species, not only individuality, but as a species and our consciousness in relation to the universe. And I know there's been a couple of mentions in the chat here. You know, Google some more, like be curious and don't stop at an answer. Keep asking more questions. That heightens your vibration. It's not like we have to know absolutely. We can be at peace with knowing there's a mystery. I'm quite happy with that. I'm not going to get all the answers. You know, my great teacher Magda years ago said, you know, before she passed, she said, I have done all I can. Now you can keep asking the questions I didn't get the answers to. She said, I'll hear you. And I believe that. You know, we're all interconnected. So whatever we're thinking about, questioning now, we don't need an absolute answer. We only need to know there's more. And that is shared in the universe through, in what I believe, this vast consciousness. So that's my take on it.
And, you know, in that point you brought up about what do you do, you know, when you're confronted with the poor example set by our political leaders and religious leaders, you know, we have the option and the choice and the obligation to be our own person and to think for ourselves and to walk our own path. We don't behave in such a way that we wouldn't accept. In other words, we're the most worthy of our best behavior, more than anyone. So, you know, when we behave, who are we behaving for? You know, it's easy to behave properly in front of nice people, but when you have rude people and you then return that, you catch that ball and you toss it right back at them, you know, you're behaving, they're controlling your behavior. So we need to behave in such a way that you know, what will we do when nobody's watching? And I had an experience the other day. I was out just going to ride my bike, and so I headed down the street and turned the corner, and I had noticed that a small SUV had passed in front of our house and gone down and turned the corner. Didn't recognize it from the neighborhood. But anyway, I get on my bike and I go down and I turn the corner, and here's this SUV pulled off just on the side of the road, and the guy is outside picking up trash. And, you know, I usually take the grandkids and go around and pick up the trash that people throw out around our streets. There's not a lot of houses in our area. So I've done it, but I haven't done it recently. I mean, I haven't done it in the last few weeks, but there's not always trash, but there was some trash. He's picking up this trash. So I'm, you know, riding my bike. I'm approaching him, and he's just put it in the back of his SUV, and he's closing it down. And I said, "Thank you for picking that up." You know, and so we got chatting. I stopped and we chatted for a few minutes. And, you know, this turns out this fellow was running for the Northport commissioners. He was running to be for the election in November. And it's nonpartisan, I should say. And anyway, we had a nice chat. And there was no houses on that part of the street. Nobody could have seen him. I just happened to come along while he was doing it. And to me, that says something about somebody who will do that even when nobody's watching. And that's a question for us. How do we behave when nobody's watching? How do we behave? Are we behaving first and foremost for ourselves? Because, you see, that is higher consciousness. That is enlightenment. That is higher self-awareness. You know, am I right or am I right? You know, one of those two. So, good questions.
So These are the things that we're asking ourselves about. What is consciousness? And is the universe conscious? In my perspective, my belief system, yes. But that's also kind of filtered through my belief system and my perception, that I really believe that whatever I think and feel is put out there in the universe, and the universe responds. Now, I'm not saying it like there's a God factor. It's not like it's, oh, yeah, you know, Vicky, sure, we'll give you $1 million today. It's not like that. It's like putting out the energy out there that pulsates to heighten a frequency. And when you participate with a higher frequency, then we're all benefiting. So it's not just one to benefit, it's all to benefit. And I think if there's one thing that we can all learn better is we're individual, but to stop behaving like we're the center of the universe.
And that's plagued humanity for eons, you know. I mean, they used to think that we were the center of the universe, you know, that everything revolved around the earth. And that's still, and it's gotten better, but it's still, you still see remnants of that arrogance on the part of humanity, where people think that everything revolves around them. And we can even fall into that too. That's called taking yourself too seriously. And we have to remind ourselves not to take ourselves too seriously. I have to do that all the time. And I do. But we all think that everything revolves around us, and it doesn't. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's about us. And so we have to be reasonable and balanced in our perspective and our opinion of life and the world. And we have to keep our feet on the ground and our head on our shoulders and be reasonable and not, not allow fear to grip us or to cause us to shrink back from fulfilling our own purpose and our own mission in life. Before we move on to to pulling cards, and if you, by the way, if you want one pulled, put your name in the chat room. Michael, do you have any concluding thoughts on this topic of consciousness?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I was thinking you had spoken a moment ago about not letting fear prevent you from fulfilling your purpose. We can tie that in with what Dr. Hunter said earlier about the fact that we are seeing a resurgence in crass and deplorable behavior of late. But the thing is, it's not going to be the last time we see it. And it might sound at first pessimistic when you say that this is a never-ending issue that we will constantly fight. It's not, because there will always be people there to fight it. By which I'm being metaphorical, it's going to be by building the better world, by being the better influence. It's never going to stop. We're always going to need good people out there to put forth the work to build the world that we want to live in. It's never just going to happen. And there are always going to be people that have a darker outlook and a, well, rather lack of ethics and integrity. And they're always going to need to be challenged and kept in check. But the good news is that there will always be people there to do it. And history will ebb and flow. Times will get better, times will get worse. But the good fight will always go on, and there will always be people to do it. And that is actually inspiring to me. So I just wanted to throw that in the mix.
Yeah, good points.
You know, Fran, drew number 43 for the room tonight. And I think you drew that last week, Fran. Am I correct, Michael? Do you remember? Yeah, just kind of a, you
which
know.
Which card is it?
It's expediency.
I think we did.
And the gist of that is timing is everything. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. So, and thanks for drawing the card, Fran. That's great. I think we have Edward first. Do you want to draw a card, Michael?
I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see.
Fran said yes, she did draw that last week. Interesting.
Very interesting. Dr. Edward, I pulled number 6, boundaries. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
Good
one.
Cecilia thinks she wants a card.
Cecilia, I pulled number 17 for you, reinvention. Nothing's more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented? It's a good reminder for all of us. All right, I think we have Ronaldo next, Michael.
And for Ronaldo, I've pulled number 17, reinvention.
That's the one we just read. That's funny.
That's awesome. So if you heard that one, Ronaldo, then maybe just say one or two lines from it, Michael, just to
pull an
well,
alternate.
I think that was completely at random when I just pulled it out as I was saying your name. I pulled it out of the middle of the deck, and it was number 17. But I think since we just heard it, maybe we can pull this one partially for you and for the group. Let's see. All right, this one is wild card number 4, unknowable.
That's funny. I was wondering if that card had come up in some others that we referred to.
All
There are mysteries in the universe, and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable, unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind, and you change your world. Change your mind, and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and indications of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, you're going to love this one. For Patrick, I pulled number 9 of the wild card suit, and it's the blank card.
Oh, yeah.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be. It's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Mm. Yeah. So ponder that card and then let your imagination run wild.
That's right. Okay.
I think Dr. Darlene's next, if I'm on track.
There you go, Michael.
All right. I'm really hoping we pull Paradox tonight, but we'll see. All right. This one is still a great card. Number 28, Do No Harm and Do Right. Ah, classic. Do no harm and do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means also to take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles. That's a great card. And one of the things I love about it is it does remind you that when you're talking about doing good in the world, it's also about for yourself in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. Not a selfish way, but a healthy way.
Good point, Michael. Well, Fran, I've pulled a card for you. And you know, we're sending you lots of energy, and if everybody in the chat would just think of a white light and send this to Fran to help her through a difficult decision-making time. But I did select number 19 for you, Fran, invoke the counselor within. So I think it's kind of appropriate. Mm-hmm. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth. But the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself to not codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that's right for you. So we all support you in whatever decisions you make in your life, Fran. But it's way deep inside of you, and we'll just amplify your energy to give you the strength to take whatever action you feel. So,
and you know, just to comment on these cards too, and for those who may not be familiar with them, they're the Inner Oracle self-discovery cards. Are available on this website, metaphysicalhumanism.org. Up at the top of the page, there's a link for the store, and you can order a deck. But they're interesting, and that's another aspect of global consciousness that even comes into play, because while some may argue, well, it's just coincidence, the cards you pull, well, it in practice, it becomes more than that. And it's intriguing, and it's something I never expected to happen when we did these cards, 3 or 4 years ago. I never expected that, but these cards can run in a thread, and it seems to make sense on a higher level, and they can work together, and it's like, what causes that, you know? And so sometimes we may pull the same card for you again, or you may, if you have a deck, you may pull a card later on at the same card. Is it chance? Is it coincidence? It could be, but it also should give us pause for thought. Okay, maybe there's something here I still need to learn. It's, again, these cards are to get you thinking. That's what they're for. They're not magic, but they are there to get you thinking. That's why they're called self-discovery cards. So anyway, great, great points tonight. I think we got all the cards pulled for everybody who wanted one. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, tonight we had an interesting discussion on consciousness, always a fascinating topic. And we talked about the different cards that we pulled, expediency, boundaries, reinvention, unknowable, do no harm, do right, invoke the counselor within. And so hopefully you've been intrigued with these thoughts. You've maybe been reminded of some things and learn some things even, or, you know, come to a new conclusion on some things. And hopefully it's been beneficial.
Well, it gives me an idea for next week as a topic. Let's talk about different forms of divination. Like, I can speak to you about tarot and numbers and, yeah, you know, what that does in tapping into consciousness and telepathy and so on. So that might be, if anybody, we can just talk about that, divination.
Sounds good.
All right.
Put it on the list. So anyway, we appreciate everybody's time and attention tonight. Those listening to the live program, it's always good to have you. Those listening to the archives, good to have you too. And if you ever get a chance, you haven't listen to the live program, please join us sometime. There's a time zone calculator on the page that you can check your own time zone. But anyway, we appreciate it, everyone. Thanks to Dr. Hunter, thanks to Michael, and thanks to everyone. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.